Welcome back to The Europeans, the only podcast about Europe.
Are we going to get sued for saying that? I think there's a few others, Dominic.
Well, the only one I listen to.
It's the best one. Let's just say that.
We'll probably be sued for that.
We'll probably be sued for all sorts of things. Anyway, today, listeners, we are very happy to tell you that it's time for the sixth episode in our series, This Is What a Generation Sounds Like. It's a series that just so happens to have been nominated for a very prestigious radio prize, the Prix Europa, in case we haven't boasted about it enough already. And if you haven't heard one of these episodes before, it's a series where we hand over the microphone to young Europeans to tell us their stories.
This series has taken us to lots of places already, everywhere from Berlin to Minsk. But Europe isn't just cities. So this week we're taking you to Udabno, a pretty isolated village in the southeast of Georgia. And it's a pretty unique place. So unique, in fact, that we thought we'd better bring in our producer, Wojciech, who made this story, to come and set the scene for us. Hi, Wojciech.
Hi, hello.
Tell us a little bit about Udabno. What is this place like?
Yeah, so Udabno in Georgian, it means desert. And it's not far from the truth. It's a vast grassland on the border of Azerbaijan and Georgia. And it's a very secluded place. It takes about 2 hours to drive from Tbilisi. And the nearest town is called Sagarejo, and it's like 40 kilometers away. The story of the place is really interesting because it was built in the communist times only to make an impression that Soviet people can do anything. It was the way to prove that communist is such a powerful system that you can have a very beautiful blossoming village in the middle of the desert. And that's what they did.
Wow, that sounds like a slightly mad idea. But what's happened since then? Did it stay blossoming after the Soviet era? Is it still this bustling place?
Well, not really. Mostly because it took massive amount of money and energy to make this huge, crazy project happen. There were immense water pumps that would pump water uphill from the area close to Tbilisi to Udabno. And then when the Soviet Union collapsed, there was nobody to be proud of the village anymore. And there was no water. There was nobody to repair, you know, broken things. And all the facilities, because there were baths, there was a restaurant, there was a theater. And then everybody just left. And only 50 families are still there. And actually, when you walk around the village, it looks very much like an abandoned place.
And into this abandoned, very isolated place comes Kinga, the person who's going to be showing us around Udabno today. And Kinga is someone who just, as soon as we heard from her, we just wanted to get to know her. She's that kind of person. So she is from Poland originally. What is she doing in Georgia?
She and her husband, Ksawery, they run a restaurant. And Ksawery came there in 2013 because he needed a great change in life. So that's what he came up with, starting a restaurant in the middle of nowhere.
Well, this story, it's a story about looking for meaning in life and finding it somewhere really unexpected. So without further ado, here is Kinga's story, produced by Wojciech Oleksiak and Kinga Gotz, and with beautiful music from the village's own amazing local choir, Kasletila.
I didn't even want to go to Georgia. It was never my dream to come to Georgia. I had different plans. I studied different languages. I studied French, Spanish and English, and I didn't speak Russian, and definitely I didn't plan to learn Georgian. But my cousin, she had an inner need to travel somewhere, and she sent me the plan of the trip, and one of the points on the list was visiting the Polish couple in Udabno. When we arrived here, it turned out there's no Polish couple, there's only one man. And soon he became my husband. We were supposed to stay for one night, and that night we decided to stay another night. And then I came back to Poland. Xavier somehow found me on the internet. So he wrote to me, and that was like 1 month of constant asking myself if I should come back or not. I was smoking pot with my brother. Yeah, and I was telling him the story the moment when I already knew that I will not come here, because I thought like, no, it's not a good idea, especially that my future husband was like much older than I was, and in general it didn't look like a reasonable thing to do. But then we were talking with my brother, and then he said like, you know what, you should just go, because otherwise you will wander all your life. And it's like, but listen, I don't have money, I'm like a poor student really. And he said, okay, I will give you the money for the tickets. And I bought the tickets. I arrived here, and the first moment when I saw Xavier, I was like, okay, that's it. That's it. I just knew that this is like, I will stay here forever. And this is, for now it's 8 years, but it's gonna be forever. You know, the funny thing is that I came here with the bus. It was called Garage Line. And I remember when I was in this bus, and I saw the landscape, and I remember thinking, such a beautiful place. It's a pity I will never come back, you know? And then, like really 1 month later, I was seeing this bus coming every day, and I was always thinking like, I came with the same bus. That was always so weird to me. It didn't look like an inviting place. There was no water. You had to like have special containers to keep water. There were no streets. There was no street lights. If there were some shops, they were only with cans or something in one of the rooms of the house. The road was terrible, full of holes, and there were only cows here. And these people, those who couldn't leave, stayed here. But who could? They all left. When my mom came here first, she saw the village, and you know how it looks. It's like these abandoned, empty buildings, no windows, these cows, and you know, people made the fences out of some leftovers of the pipes or whatever. Like, it looks post-apocalyptic sometimes. So my mom came, when she saw it, she said like, oh my God, so much money for the studies, like education, and you're traveling, and this is where you wanted to live, really? Oh, we can see like a cow peeing in the middle of the streets. Really, it's a pity you cannot see that. So we started living in Udabno. Our first child, Vanda, was born, and everything seemed blissful. These things that were challenging were not really connected to the place itself. It was rather to the fact that I changed my life fully in a few weeks. I felt depressed, and I didn't know why, because I had everything. I had a lovely daughter already at that time. I had an amazing husband that I loved. I was living in a beautiful place. I was running my own thing, which gives you loads of freedom. I got loads of appreciation from the people who were coming and like, oh, we respect you that you're doing that. And I still felt bad inside of myself. So my friend, she just called somebody a specialist. And I told her about this feeling that I'm telling you now. And she told me something very important. She said like, you know what? People who come to me because they're depressed, they are depressed because they have a baby. And this is a huge change. They changed the country of living. This is a huge change. They changed their job. And this is a huge change. They changed their personal situation, like partner, whatever. And you came to me with all these things at the same time. And you're surprised that you're not happy. She just gave me the right to feel bad. And that was it. I didn't need anything else. I just had the confirmation that I'm not crazy, that I'm not ungrateful. And that already gave me like, okay, I can relax. I have the right to feel bad. And then I started feeling better and better every day, you know? But in general, when I see it now, there's nothing that should be challenging here. Because at the beginning, especially because it's so beautiful here, I love it. I'm waking up with the same view for so many years, and every time I'm amazed. Every time I look at the sunset, sunrise, and every time it's different somehow. The colors are different every season. Now I'll show you the third floor. And the view from the third floor is very spectacular. Because here you can see the grassland, like panoramic view of that. Some people tell me that they don't feel that comfortable here because you cannot hide, there are no trees. But I have the opposite feeling, because you can see the horizon and it's really calming me down. After several years, we finally reached the point when we started earning enough money to feel comfortable with our financial situation. We'd always thought that it would be the moment when we can finally relax and feel totally fulfilled. But surprisingly, we began to experience other feelings, such as guilt towards the people from Udobno. The gap between us having a successful business and them, most of them, still being in the same situation started being more visible, and it struck us too. So we said, maybe we could make some charity. But not having much experience in that and not knowing what to expect, we simply began visiting people in their houses. I wanted to know what they needed without assuming or telling them what they needed. I couldn't expect we would soon be hugging each other or we'd be crying together, and still I would be crying when back home. And what made us so touched were just simple questions such as, what could change your situation? Or what is your dream? If you ask this question to my children, they will not be crying. Say, oh my God, we want to go to Disneyland or something, you know? And usually these people were saying, we have no dreams.
As you can see, the school is painted in some kind of graffiti, amateur graffiti. And that's the result of a project that was carried here. You know, like some people came, were supposed to teach the kids to make a professional graffiti. And most of the things that I remember, because they were staying at our place, was that they were drinking every day. And it made us really frustrated that we see these people just having a party, spending the money that this money was supposed to be spent on helping this village. That's why they did it, and that's why probably they got this money. And in the end, they just left the school looking worse than it did. Nobody learned anything. They just had fun. They brought people from all the Europe and they left.
The people, they were touched because I think they already forgot about asking themselves these kind of questions. And I was touched because I forgot that there are people who may forget to ask themselves these questions. And in the end, of course, I also asked them about like simple stuff like, do you have a job or do you have a washing machine? And afterwards, we managed to gather the money thanks to people, amazing people who trusted us and sent the money to our foundation account. And we did buy these washing machines, the fridges, the cars, the sewing machines. We financed operations because we have to remember that these people lived in conditions very different to ours. They weren't dying of hunger, for example, but it's still nice to have a washing machine, to have a fridge. First of all, we felt so good after that. We felt like we are now sharing what we got here. And what's even more important is that the people, which was really unexpected, became so extremely friendly towards us. I didn't realize that they weren't till the moment when I saw them being actually friendly, honestly friendly. I think they stopped looking at us as business people and began more looking at us as just simple, good people. And that was really amazing. And we actually felt like members of the society, finally.
Hello. Yeah, some kid driving a car.
How old is he, you think?
Oh, probably 14, but he's driving already for 5 years. So, but I saw once a boy, and I remember him when he was 12. I was teaching him English. He's super clever. And then suddenly, I think he was 19 or something, and I looked at him and I was like, why didn't he go to the university? Why is he staying here, hanging with some boys, drinking beer? And I was like, it's not what I expected from him. And then I thought like, oh my God, we forgot about the kids. You know, we're doing loads of things for people, like elderly people here. And we like lost 8 years here. And these kids became grown-ups and nothing changed in their lives. So we started financing studies and university. And that's super nice. That's really something that I can see that people felt like that, okay, there will be a chance. Because some of them are like, why should I learn? I will not go to school after I'm 16 because anyhow my parents will not afford any studies, any university. And we started doing that and I saw like so many kids, even like you can see at the bar, these girls, they go to the university. I think they should have the possibility to go and see, but also I think they should be raised in a respect to this place. To see that many people appreciate this place, who come here from outside world, which for them is probably very attractive, looking at Instagram and stuff. Now they can see all the world. And if they have no opportunity to go, they will always think like, I'm losing something. If you go and then you decide to come back, it's totally different perspective. That's one reason. But another reason why they should go to the university, because I believe in education in general. Some opinions that I hear here from adults are outrageous, you know, about Stalin, about like in general life in the family, the fact that they very often they accept domestic violence. It will not do any harm if they go to the university and they learn more. Small bull on the in the street, but with, this is very common. On the right, you can see our the main hat of the village. Yeah, in, with a cigarette in his hand.
Gamarjavat.
Gamarjavat. Uh-huh. Very proud man. Yes, yes. It's a pity you cannot see the head of the village because this is really something.
Patriarchy in Georgia in general. You cannot see that, luckily, in Tbilisi anymore. Here in Udabno, I'd say some things are slowly changing, but I know there's domestic violence, which is accepted. Well, that happened in front of our restaurant and nobody called the police. You know, I didn't even call the police because I felt like, you know, the problems that we always face concerning domestic violence, yeah, the women are afraid to call the police, etc., because they're so dependent, yeah? And I'm ashamed of that, but I also felt the same. Like, I'm dependent on this man in the sense, if I call the police, that I will not be the friend anymore. I know the stories of women, 8 out of 10 of my cooks were kidnapped to get married with a guy that they basically didn't know, even if the guy was 25 years older. That's the situation of one of our cooks. That was like 30 years ago. Now it rarely happens, but it does happen from time to time. But the thing that is, I think, most difficult for me to look at is that they're very hardworking women here, and men are not. I'm working at the bar very often in the evenings, and then their husbands come, already drunk usually, and they tell me like,
give me 2 beers.
It's like, give me money, and it's like,
I don't have money.
No money, no beer. And then they say,
okay, just put it on the account of my wife.
I'm saying, no, obviously, when I pay her, then I can get the money back, yeah? But I said, no, I won't. So he's calling her from the kitchen. She goes out. He asks her, and she says, Kinga, yes, do that. And I know it's not because she wants to, but it is painful for me because I know how much she works for that, and he doesn't care. It's the same story with sons, which is awful. We have almost 80 years old cook in the kitchen, and her grandsons are coming who can work, but they never even tried. Whenever we offer them any job, they're laughing. And they take the BS on her account. Can you imagine 8 years old, like working just next to the oven in the heat all day, and I have to give them the beer because of her work? And I cannot say no, because she says yes. The only thing I can do is to give her like a proper salary in the end, not subtracting the price of the beer. But it's not the solution in the end, yeah? So that's something that is really disturbing to me.
Here in the kitchen, and there's like loads of things happening here. We have 4 ladies here working. One of them is washing the dishes, the other one is cooking tomato soup, the third one is chopping the greens, and one is just sitting and doing nothing. It's regular. And Irakli, our manager, he's just talking to everybody and trying to make them be a little bit more organized, but better to go out because it's too noisy.
Yes, Udabno changed, of course, both as a village and people living here. They started using the fact that there are more people coming here in a positive way. So also like opening restaurants, guest houses, selling their cheese, etc. I saw my cooks, women, who started dancing to European music in the evenings, dancing that you saw that too, yeah? That wouldn't happen before. At the beginning, all the women were coming to the kitchen and I couldn't even say how old they were because for me they were all over 50, and it turned out that it's just the way they dress. Sandals, socks, long black dresses. And also I remember at the beginning when they finished their work at 10, they were going home. Now very often they stay longer. I remember the situation when in the next morning, one of them was crying. And when I asked her why, she said, you know, somebody saw me here yesterday and they said that I'm behaving like a prostitute. Just because she just stayed like maybe 20 minutes after work and she drank one shot of cha-cha-cello, so very soft drink. And now it doesn't happen. I don't see this situation anymore. I think also the boys in the village, they got used to it, that our cooks also have fun after work. We dance together. Nobody's judging them that much. At least I don't see that anymore.
Didi madlova, ara 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 ara, arunda arunda, ara ara ara, madlova madlova, didi madlova. Cigarette. Kargi madlova, dahmarai bitris.
Can you tell me what happened?
My kids are, when they're passing here, they enter and they give them things for free. So I felt guilty a little bit and I just gave her extra money, but she of course didn't want to. Yeah. I also accepted one thing. I will not have a real friend here. There are lovely women here. I love them. But most of them, they're interested in their children and like very family life. This is the most important. And whenever I try to talk about something else, I don't share the same feelings. My husband told me that one day when I was like very sad and like, oh my God, like another person just stabbed me in the back. And he's like, Kinga, you will never be a part of the family here. In Georgia, families are the most important. Clans, you know, and we are not the part of the clan. And we'll never be. So even if we love each other, like my cooks, my singers, whatever, if there's any kind of conflict, they will prefer to protect the member of their family who is murderer than me in the end. And this is what I felt.
And it's the same for Xavier. It's not about the patriarchy, but it's just because you're not from here.
Yes, yes, yes. It's the same about Xavier.
And is he treated differently because he's a man?
At the beginning, yes. When I was working in the restaurant, there were three guys coming like,
"Where's Xavier?"
It's like he's sleeping with the kids or something. I don't remember. But he was in the flat like around 150 meters from the restaurant. And I'm working today. So, yeah. And he said,
"No, no, we need to speak to Xavier. It's important."
You know, it was one of my first days working at the bar alone. And I was like, okay, like it seems really something important. So I went and I was like, "I'm sorry, Xavier, I'm waking you up, but these guys won't let me work if I don't call you." So he was like, okay. And he went to the bar and you know what they did? They ordered kubdari.
Yes, somebody's driving. Oh my God. This guy didn't look very happy because he never looks very happy. He's my neighbor and I'm always like super, "Hi, hello, how are you?" And he's like, you know, you saw his face, yeah? He reminds me of my father, that's why I like him, I guess.
Yeah. I thought he wanted to kill me.
Yes, 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 I always have this impression. But the good thing is that he's like that towards everybody, so I can feel that he accepted me. Yes.
Have you felt lonely or are you feeling lonely sometimes here?
I think I used to feel lonely at the beginning, yes. And I was telling my husband, like, "You have to be my best friend, girlfriend. You have to be my husband. You have to be the father of our kid. You have to be my lover. You have to be everything because it's only you, basically." But I don't feel lonely anymore. And I don't know if I changed that. I don't need people that much. I was missing the deep contact with friends, like the deep conversations that you talk to somebody that you talked already 1 week ago and you can continue the same conversation. Or you can say like, "You know what I told you last time, now I changed my mind." Yeah. And here you don't have this chance because people come and they go. People come, go, come, go. And basically you have very shallow conversations from my point of view, of course. These people leave. And then for them, you are like an interesting story to tell to their real friends. But I don't need people anymore. I don't know why, but this is weird. But somehow I became quite, how do we call it in English? Samotnik?
A loner.
A loner, yeah, probably. Even if I'm super talkative and, you know, and open, but I don't need people that much anymore. And I'm happy, really.
Can you imagine yourself being an old lady here?
Yes, 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 yes. I can't wait. Yeah, really. Like, my friends are laughing at me because I keep talking about retirement. I know that I will be in pain or something. Like, my grandma always tells me that. But still, I think it will be loads of fun. I will have my own garden. And I hope I will have respect here, which is, I think, everybody kind of needs that. You know, and I will be maybe this crazy old Polish lady and the kids will say like, "You know, she moved here when she was 20, you know, and I don't know. I think it will be fun here and I'm waiting for that. To wake up in the morning and see the same beautiful view, but without the same responsibility I have now.
This episode was produced by Kinga Gotz and me, Wojciech Oleksiak. I also did the scoring, sound design, mixing and mastering of the story. Our editors were Katz Laszlo and Katie Lee, with additional help from Dominik Kramer. Thank you so much to our collaborators at Are We Europe and to Allianz Kulturstiftung for funding this episode. And of course, many, many thanks to our Patreon supporters, without whom this podcast would not exist. Music in this episode came from Udabno's local choir, Kasletila, who performed these songs especially for this episode. Our theme music is by the one and only Jim Barn. Thank you so much for listening. Next week, we're taking some time off to come back with a big bang in 2 weeks' time. Like some serious boom pow. Mark my words. Ciao!